Hallelujah. You know what? A few weeks ago, Brother Wells asked me to if I would speak on Father's Day morning when we was going to be on vacation. And one of the first things that came to my mind was the title to this message this morning. The title is called, It's What a Father Does. And I'm going to let you be seated for now. I'm not going to open up with a text, but I am going to share a series of verses throughout this morning's message. And what the fathers are doing today on Father's Day doesn't necessarily define what a father does. Today is a day that they celebrate being a father. They're honored by being a father. They're going camping. They're going fishing. They're going boating. They're going grilling. They're doing something today, but that does not signify what a father does. I was asked recently by somebody who I work with last week, says, what do you do for hobbies? And I didn't have to think very hard about it. I don't have a whole lot of hobbies. I don't have any particular hobby in mind that I could say, you know, I enjoy doing this or I want to do that. Being a parent, spending time with my family, wife and kids, being involved in ministry pretty much fills up my plate. To be honest, I don't feel deprived a bit, so don't feel sorry for me. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I do feel extremely blessed to live the life that I live for God and raise in my children in a Christian home, bring them to an apostolic church every week. There's nothing that I find more joy than that, than doing that. In Jesus' name. One of the things a father enjoys, and I enjoyed growing up, raising my children, is the running and jumping hugs when they were little of my daughters. Now, starting with Allison, when she would do this, I remember Gina would put pigtails in her hair, and I would see her running, and she had a smile on her face, and she would literally leap and jump, and I would catch her as she's leaping. And I enjoyed that. It was incredible. I remember one time when she was in kindergarten, and she was running down the hallway over at Woodbury, and Dad came in to pick her up from school, and literally she just leaped and jumped, and I caught her in my arms. And she got a little older. She got a little bigger. So when I would get home from work, I would open the door a little more slowly, and I would brace myself because I know that if she comes running full blast to me, I'm going to get knocked over because I worked all day. I'm not as strong as I was when I started out in the morning. I want to talk a little bit about what a father does, especially in times of trouble. In Psalms 27:5, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set my feet upon a rock. We got a phone call from Kara last week at camp. Her first day at camp was Monday. And she called my wife crying because she broke her iPhone. She tripped and fell. It fell on the sidewalk, and she was distraught. Her heart was broken. And she had to call Mom. And she had to tell her how sorry she was, and Mom had to reassure her that it's okay. We can fix the phone. I'm just glad you're not broken. And she had such a tender, broken heart that she needed to be comforted. And she wanted to, after she got done talking to Mom, she wanted to talk to Dad. And I said, Kara, it's okay. I know how heartbroken she was. I didn't want it to ruin her camp. And I said, you know what? You just enjoy camp. We can get that thing fixed when you get back from camp. Have you ever been in a time when you were in a pinch or a need and a call Dad sometime in your life? It would be a lot worse if I didn't call Dad because I really need something. Dad, I ran out of gas. I'm a little short this week, Dad. Can you help me out? I don't have that tool that I need right now, but I know my dad, or in this case, I have a father-in-law, has got about every tool that I ever needed. I go down to his house and I get it. A father is there to let their children know it's going to be okay. There are times, as a child, we need that assurance. I'm thankful that when I'm really in trouble, I can call to him, to my heavenly father, and cry out to him, and he's there for me in times of trouble. In Psalm 91, verse 2, it says, of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Verse 4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I'm also thankful that when I'm in trouble, I can go to the Word of God. When I need help, I go to the Word of God. I know it's dependable. I know it's there. I know His Word is true, and it is sure. In Jesus' name. There's a testimony I wanted to share, and I felt reminded of it. I just lost my notes. Good Lord. Be patient with me. Oh, there it is. Technology. But, okay. Where am I? Okay. I remember a time about 10 years ago, I felt like I was in trouble, and Allison and Kara were little. I was out of work. I didn't know what else to do. I don't know if you've ever been like this. Even when we are Christians, sometimes we hit a place of helplessness, a place of hopelessness. It happens. I'll be honest with you. It isn't always bright, sunshiny day. Storms do come. Things do happen. And sometimes, I remember this one time in particular, I hit my knees, and I felt like a place of hopelessness. And I didn't want to see my kids look at me break down. And I started weeping and crying in front of my front door because I needed to support my kids, and I didn't have any work at the time. And I went over to my couch. I laid on my couch, and I put one of those couch pillows over my eyes. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I don't want to see my kids look at me like this. And my wife was sitting at the end of the couch, and the Bible just happened to be there on the end table. And she started reading Psalm 6. And Psalm 6 says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy holy in my hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? And this is the verse that literally popped me up out of the couch. It says, I am weary with my groanings all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. I was laying at that moment in my couch. I had no idea back in the Bible days that they even had couches. When I think of the Bible days, I think of the Flintstones, like stone furniture and stuff like that. It kind of blew my socks off that the Lord knew right then, and it was no accident that my wife opened the Bible right then, and that I needed to hear a word from the Lord right then, that He knew right where I was at when I was in trouble, and the Word of God, the book, the Bible was opened, and He was there. I'm going to continue reading this. There's only a few more verses. Mine eyes are consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. The Lord hears the prayers of our weeping. Don't you think because there is times of weeping that we have times of sorrow and grief that there are times when he doesn't hear us. He hears us. He knows right where we're at. He knows when we're confused, when we're frustrated, when we're at our wit's end. When we feel like we can't go another step, He goes, yes, you can. You can go one more step. He goes, I've got this. I've got you right in the palm of my hand. You are in a safe place. Sometimes we look beyond the realms of grace where we're at sometimes. Sometimes we look beyond grace. Sometimes we look beyond today. We look at tomorrow like, what's tomorrow going to bring? You know what? I don't need to worry about tomorrow because God's got it covered. I don't need to think beyond the grace that He has put me in. The grace is sufficient. It's for today. I'm going to worry and think about today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. We give God a hand clap of praise in Jesus' name. A father also has hope and aspirations for his children. We have this verse in our kitchen, and it's 3 John verse 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In Jesus' name, Lord. That verse was put up before my wife had cancer. It was put up during cancer. It was when she was healed of cancer. We went to that verse. He wants our soul to prosper. He wants us to be in health. He wants us to prosper in everything that we do. He is not a doom and gloomer. He does care about the prosperity of his children. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. I believe that because it's in the Word. He wants all these things for us, and He is for us. A father nurtures their children. A father lets their children hear the words, I love you, and sees the words, I love you, by their actions. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, I'm going to read the New Living Translation version. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. A father lets his children feel loved by letting the love of God be manifest through him. A father prays over their children, prays for their present, and prays for their future well-being. One of the things that I say repeatedly, I know you're not supposed to repeat things, but it's like a broken record. Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection around my family every night. When I go to work, when they got to go to school, I can't be everywhere they are. You know what? They are in better hands when they are in God's hands than they were in my hands. So why should I worry about it anyways? Lord, I release them to you. I give them to you. I trust them to you that you're going to take good care of them. I have to let that go and let God take care of my children. I have 3 girls, so I have a situation. I have a kitchen table. It seats 8. I have 3 girls. That means there's a potential for 3 future spouses. I have to pray continually for them to marry the right man of God, somebody that will treat them with dignity and with respect, somebody that will be their helpmeet, somebody that won't walk on them. Another thing a father does, he encourages the children to do something they have never done before. Now, this is something that I was teaching. I was telling Brother Kellum a couple weeks about. Solomon did something that his father was never able to do. His father wanted to build a temple for the house of the Lord, for his presence, but he was never able to do it. It was passed on from one generation to another. Some of David's last words in 1 Chronicles 28 and 8 says, be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God. Then he got personal with Solomon. Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. And I started explaining this to the kids up in the youth class a couple weeks ago. That is something that I had to learn on my own. My parents have to learn that on their own. They're going to have to learn this on their own. They're going to have to learn to be intimate, to grow intimate, to have that Lord see into me, to have that personal time. And it's a process. It's not always easy. We're praying to a God whose thoughts are higher than ours, whose ways are higher than ours. He's the one who spoke the world up to existence. But sometimes we struggle with this. Worship and serve the Lord, David said to Solomon, with a whole heart and a willing mind. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. A father also gives good advice. It's what a father does. I believe God has great plans and expectations for this next generation to do things that have never done before. Some things that maybe this generation started out doing but wasn't able to finish. But he has a purpose and a plan for that. He didn't intend for this generation to do it, but it's being passed on. And I believe that this generation is going to do things that we have never seen done before. That they're going to take this thing by the reins, and they're going to take it with full force. They're going to take it with faith. They're going to take it with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they're going to do some great things for the Lord. And I want to encourage them to do great things. I want to help them out as much as I can. But I want to see them, go ahead, daughter. Go ahead, son. You do what you can. I can only take this so far, but I believe you're going to go farther. I believe that there's great things ahead for this next generation. A father is a man of his word. If we all like to admit it at times, we don't get this right. I'll be the first to admit it. My wife will tell me. She'll call me. She'll say, when are you going to get home from work? And I'll say with great optimism, I'll be home at this time. Then I look at my watch, and at this time, I'm not even close to leaving in my car to get home from work. And those are all areas that we don't mean to not be a person of our word, but it happens. And that's something that if we all like to admit, we all do that. I'm thankful that I can count on the word of God, for he has never failed or let me down. Another thing a father does is he's a father to the fatherless. In Psalms 68:5 says, a father to the fatherless and a judge to the widows is God in his holy habitation. Another translation means, whose dwelling is holy. I remember Jane Moyer would always ask me, she goes, you're going to have another one? Are you going to have a boy? I'm like, no, my answer is absolutely not. That doesn't mean I should stop being a father figure. Driving to church, a van is a great ministry, and I enjoy doing it. And some of these kids will know if you are they're a taxi driver or do you really care about me? And there's this one girl in particular that only a parent knows this, but your kids will sometimes put a twinkle in your eye. And sometimes there's a child that comes along, they'll put a twinkle in my eye. And this was a girl, her little girl named Jackie, and she came for years with her brothers and sisters. And I would look at her and she would sometimes she'd just catch me just right. And then she would look at me and she would say, can you pick me up? I'm like, okay. Can you give me a hug? Okay. Then I realized, you know what? She just wants to feel the love of God in somebody. Maybe she doesn't feel that love. She feels a love that the only love she knows is by mom and dad, and they don't go to church. They don't have the love of God in them, but we have the love of God in us. And we need to be that father figure to the ones that are spiritually fatherless. They don't have a spiritual mom or dad. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to stop being a dad to others outside of my three children. I'm going to be a father to the fatherless, to the unchurched. And some of these ones that are grandpas, you could be a grandfather to the unchurched and love them through Jesus' eyes and love them through his heart. Because that's what they're looking for. That's what they're longing for. And that's something they don't get at home. But they're longing for that. A father also sees talents that God has given them and encourages them to use them for the Lord. I know Allison's good at photography. I know Kara's good at art. And I got thinking about this. The Days are really good at music, and they use their talent for the Lord. And I want to say this morning, Brother Day, thank you. That's awesome that all your children are in church, and they are using their talents for the Lord. I can imagine what it was like being in the day house growing up. There was singing going on. It wasn't just on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but it was going on during the week. And I believe he had an ear to discover, you know what, that is not just a normal voice, but there's a special talent there. And I believe he was encouraging his children to use that for the Lord. A lot of people are using their talents to get on American Idol, to do things, to get fame and the things this world has to offer. And you know what? I want to encourage and channel that talent that God has given my children and see other children that have talents and say, you know what? You use that for the Lord. There's no greater ability. There's no greater talent that you have than to give it to the Lord. A father is also a good example to his wife. The example that I see, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and it's not talked about enough, is Joseph, Mary's husband. I believe he was a man. He knew how to treat Mary right. He led as a servant when times were in trouble. He was there to not say, Mary, come with me. He was there to say, Mary, I want to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. You have the Son of the Most High God you're impregnated with, you're birthed with. We are on the run. The government is upon his shoulders. I want to take good care of you. He led as a servant. There is just an awesome, incredible testimony that Joseph has of being a leader in his family, to be a leader in his home, to his wife, to lead as a servant. A father also disciplines or corrects. I couldn't kind of go around this one. God gave me this morning. Just a couple of short things. One of the benefits of being disciplined is being disciplined, it produces wisdom. When you discipline your children, it produces wisdom. And correcting your child will give you peace of mind and a glad heart. It's not easy doing it. I remember when the girls were little, when I had to discipline them, I literally had to pat them in the rear end and I had to turn my head because my heart was broken that I had to do this. But it was something that I had to do because I needed to do it. And it was to their benefit. A father also loves to give gifts. I'm going to try to explain the story the best I can. Lord was dealing with my heart a couple weeks ago. My neighbor was having an estate sale across the street. She was moving to Arizona. And my wife went over there, and she got her attention, and she asked if I could come over and help remove some things. She was an elderly lady, and she needed to move some heavy stuff. And she saw in the garage there was a riding lawnmower for sale, and it was such a good price. And I got an older lawnmower, a rider, and I'm like, man, I'd love to have that. And when I went over there, I asked, she gave me dibs on it a week before the estate sale. I got to go over there, I got to pay for it, take it home. And the thing is, I have another neighbor next to me whose daughter is getting married. She just moved to Indiana, and she wanted, he wanted to do something for his daughter that he wanted to give her a gift. They were just moved to a new place. They have acreage. He goes, I can't afford her to buy her a new one. But when he saw I had two riding mowers in my driveway, he got so ecstatic. He goes, if you got one, he goes, I'd love to have another. I'd buy it off you right now. And I said, okay, well, let me think about it. I had Mike come over, and we looked at it together. And as I was thinking about it the next day, the Lord started dealing with my heart. And I was driving, I think on the south side of town the next day, and there's a verse that came to my mind. You know when God speaks to you, he uses a word. And one of the verses that came to my mind, it says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I said, Lord, when he started dealing with my heart, I tell you what, he knows how to affect our heart. He knows how to harden or soften the heart of a king. He knows how to deal with us. And when he was telling me this, the tears are falling down my face. I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. He was trying to teach me a lesson. He said, give, and it will be given back to you. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. There was a piece that I had when I went over there, and I said, you know what? You can have that more. I said, you want to do something for one of your kids? I said, I can relate to that. I'm going to close with this. If we could stand. I'm thankful for the truth, for being able to bring my family to an apostolic church. I want to be a reflection of who he is and what he does, of how he loves and how he gives and how he provides and how he promises and how he protects and keeps us. I'm also thankful for this in the Word. It says, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all, and in all, and living through all. I'm thankful for the Father's love this morning. He deserves that honor that he got earlier in praise. If we could just take a moment and raise our hands and give him thanks for what he has done to us and how he's corrected us, how he's always been there for us, how he's provided for us. How he's been our helper. When we were in trouble, he was right there. He knew about it. He did not blink. He did not turn his eyes from us. His eye was upon us all the whole time. He knew when to come at the right time. He knew when to help. We were not helped. We were not hopeless. We were not destroyed. We're still here today. He's given us a hope. He's given us a future. I thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you, in Jesus' name.
Playing two different songs.
I love you. I adore you. I
way you can today as you go out to, throughout the day, not only honor fathers on Father's Day, but honor the Father in heaven today.
Yes.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord. Be with us, go through us, with us throughout this day in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house, Lord. We can feel your presence, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would go out. Every man of every age would go out and be a father to the fatherless, to be an example, to be a light that shines, to let your love flow through them, to let your love be manifest in them as we go out of this place today in Jesus' name, Lord. That is a challenge I believe you have given me and you've given every man in this church, of every father and every dad in Jesus' name, Lord, to be a father to the fatherless, that they may feel your love. And know you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes.
You are dismissed at this time. Go and enjoy time with your family. We will not have service.
We have a Father's Day presentation.
At the end of the service, as you leave, don't forget, Brother Mike's got a Father's Day gift for every man in here. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.